Thank you very much for inviting me, and it's great to see this room. And I want to thank you in particular, Fiona, for all the work that she's done, as well as the other organizations that have sponsored this event. Now, I'm going to ask you if you can hear my voice even without the mic, because I think... Okay. No, I cannot. Oh, okay, because of the... All right, because of the videotaping. Okay, so I'll try not to let the mic take away too much from my concentration. Usually I prefer to speak without too much technology in between myself and the world. But what I'm going to do in the 45 minutes that I have is trying to give you some idea of the main arguments that I've developed in Caliban and the Witch. And also, I'm going to try to show to you, you know, why the question of witches and witch hunting is an important issue for us today, and even though it seems to belong to a very far distant past and seems to somewhat be, you know, falling to a world in which so many more precious, you know, important issues are now at the foreground, you know, of our concern. So this is what I'm going to try to do tonight. And I have to say that the difficulty in making the issue of witch hunting important is also due to the fact that this phenomenon has been so misinterpreted, so understudied, that many people still associate, you know, witches with creatures that belong to the world of folk tales. Many people do not believe or do not realize that, in fact, thousands and thousands of women have been persecuted under the charge of being witches and, you know, tortured, exterminated, and, as I would like to show, that their persecution, the persecution that was waged against them, has a lot to teach us, not only about the past, you know, but also about our own society. And in particular, has a lot to teach us about the development of capitalism, the nature of capitalist relations, and the position of women within it. Right? So again, this will be my topic tonight. And I have to say that the women's movement certainly changed the image of the witches. And in fact, it kind of subverted, you know, the traditional image of, you know, the old lady that you know, kills the children and is ridiculed, as well as, you know, has been turned into a source of amusement on Halloween Day. And in fact, with the women's movement, the witch became a symbol of female revolt, and became a symbol of the independent woman, the woman who is autonomous, the woman who is strong, the woman who is in rebellion against the church and against the state. Later on, you have, you know, the women who practice Wicca, who also have revalued and glorified, you know, the witches. They have revalued them and interpreted their persecution as the persecution of women who were practicing a very old religion, a kind of nature-based religion. You know, a religion, in other words, they saw the witches as the descendants, you know, of the priestesses of the great goddess. And in that sense, again, you know, they took the witches as a symbol of, you know, their struggle and their beliefs. Now, I come from a different position. You know, the work that I've done on the witches, and in particular on the great witch hunt of the 16th and 17th century in Europe, has taken a different approach. I've not been interested in studying, you know, the 16th and 17th century witch hunt and the later witch hunts that have also taken place. I've not been interested in studying them in order to find a figure with whom to identify, and I've not approached my studies of witches with the idea of glorifying these women, you know, as particular symbols of revolt, but rather I wanted to understand the reasons for their persecution. To me, the most important part of my work has been trying to understand why thousands of women in the course of 2.5 centuries in Europe and later in different parts of Europe's colonial world were persecuted and were accused of the most abominable crimes, beginning with the crime of having made a pact with the devil, and following that pact, having committed the most atrocious deeds, sucking the bones of children, killing their neighbors, poisoning their animals, and in general, dedicating themselves to the pure perpetration of evil. I've been interested in understanding the reasons of this phenomenon that seems so fantastic, so difficult to explain. So difficult to explain that when you begin to read this material, you often feel that, it's beyond explanation, right? But the very existence of this persecution and the incredible fact of the pain and the suffering of all these women, who were killed, who were tortured, who were terrorized, who were humiliated, right? From the very start told me that something very important was at stake, something again very important, not only from the viewpoint of our understanding of the past, but also of our understanding of the present. Doing historical work, and particularly, studying history of struggles and histories of persecution, you develop an attitude that leads you to see the past as constantly present. And this, in fact, has become my attitude, towards the witch hunts of the 16th and 17th century. Those women are still with me, they are still with us. I feel their presence now in the sense that they have not been revenged. Their pain and their suffering is still being, to a great extent, unspoken. And nobody has ever paid for what was done to them. And they are like the many, the many historical people who have been decimated, who have been persecuted, right? And the world has continued, and You know, the world is continued, but we cannot afford to forget. Right? We cannot afford to forget them, because to the extent that we forget them and we don't understand, you know, what was done to them and why it was done to them, you know, again, we are bound to find ourselves in the same situation and find in a situation where history is constantly repeated. So, who were the witches? And what was the witch hunt? And why it is important for us to study it and understanding? And what does it tell us about our society as well as the society in which the persecution occurred? As I said, this is not an event that can be immediately interpreted. Right? They lend itself to a very direct interpretation. But at the same time, this is true of any important historical event. I cannot think of an important historical event that can be immediately explained on the basis of direct evidence. You always are in a position in which you have to use all kinds of clues, and you have to reconstruct the past in order to make it speak. And this is what I'm going to try to do, even in a very, you know, limited amount of time. Now, the clues that we can use to understand the witch hunt are, first of all, the consequences that it produced, you know, and particularly for women's lives. And I believe also, you know, beyond the effect on women's lives. Right? So looking at the consequences, we don't have, in other words, to read the mind of those who persecuted them, those who tortured them. But we can understand the significance and the meaning of that event by looking at its consequences, its effects. Right? We can, of course, try to decipher, you know, what the witch hunt was by looking at the type of crime, at the type of women who were persecuted, right? And we can also use all the knowledge and experience that we have of our present, from the present, from today. And this, in fact, in my case, you know, I was it was very important that a large part of my research, you know, was done at a time when all around me I could see, you know, unfolding the process of globalization. Because, in fact, that process, looking at what we call globalization unfold, you know, in the United States as well as other parts of the world, you know, continuously gave me insights into what must have happened, you know, at the time of the persecution of the witches, and vice versa. In fact, I reached a situation in which there was a continuous exchange between what I was reading in the book and the research that I was doing and what I was experiencing around me in terms of the politics of the globalization process. Now, another development that has been important, you know, to gain insights into the witch hunt, and more recent, has been the so-called War on Terror. And I want to say a couple of words on that, although I'll try to come back, I hope to come back to it during the question period. You know, the witches were the terrorists of the 16th and 17th century. Right? And, you know, the witch hunt was, in a sense, very analogous to, in many ways, to what the war on terror is today. And, for example, as you probably know, I'm sure you are aware of, that the concept of the terrorist is now defined in such a broad way that can be used to persecute a very large variety of crimes, let me correct myself, can be used to persecute many different types of behavior, which the state wants to see criminalized. And I want to start my discussion of the witch hunt to say that this, in fact, was the case, you know, with the definition of women as witches. You know, witch became the label for evildoer. And under the label, a very large variety of types of behavior could be persecuted, even though on examination, on closer examination, you can see that those types of behavior were somewhat interconnected, and that, you know, the attack waged on witches as the attack waged on terrorists, right? And the use of terrorism as a charge, right? You know, in the end has a very definitive, has you know, purpose, objective, has very definite objectives it tries to reach, right?